Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown.
This is our town.
Welcome!
Good stuff. Lots to talk about this week, guys, just with big news. You know, excited about the new expansions, Alyssa?
Oh, I'm pumped. I'm always so excited. I'm always a little anxious with new cards coming in. Like, I'm scared how much I'm going to misplay. But at the same time, I'm always so excited.
Yeah.
With the new cards. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes me a while to really get used to the cards and learn it and all that good stuff. But yeah, big announcement this week. The Rise of the Shadows was announced, and you know, a lot of folks got a chance to see a preview into maybe what the theme is. And we had a video obviously kind of announcing, you know, with some new cards. So we're getting a chance to see, I believe 11 cards today we'll get a chance to discuss. And even just the new reveal schedule was announced as well. So we'll take a look at that. A little bit of news as well. So we've got some announcement from the eSport team about the whole Roger and real situation. So we'll talk about that, get our opinions on that. And then Q&A at the end, as always. You guys, if you have any questions, get ready for them in chat, or go ahead and tweet them to ValueTownGG, and we'll read them. But, Alyssa, so kind of starting out, our week in Hearthstone, what you been up to? You been laddering, been just testing out stuff, getting ready for new cards?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm focusing on standard ladder right now. I was messing with arena around the Twitch Rivals times, but now I'm back to standard. I'm focusing more on tournament gameplay. What would be good in a tournament right now? And then just, a lot of tryharding. No more memeing. No more memes.
What were you memeing with? I didn't get a chance to, obviously, you haven't been on since that period. So any cool decks you were having fun with?
I'm a big fan of my Spiteful Elemental Mage.
Oh, that's wow. Okay.
I actually had like a 70% win rate in Legend for a day. And then I lost a lot. But it was working against certain decks. I don't know.
Yeah. Just the meta swings there. Yeah. You know, the good matchups one day.
And then I also tried a Beast Druid. That wasn't so hot.
No?
I was trying like the cube thing, but some more greedy devil sort of stuff. But other beasts too. I don't know. We're trying different things.
I think the Beast Druid might have potential once everything gets reset.
It's definitely gonna be a different style without the cubes. My theory is cubes work in every deck, but you always get cubes to work.
Yeah, but you know, like Undasta and, you know, those type of things, even the Undertaker thing with the Druid, I feel like that stuff will have, you know, a bit more power after everything comes down by a lot. So we'll see how it measures up, though.
There's, you know, no naturalized, no spell stone coming up, so.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, but, you know, like, if they got no spells to do anything with, they got to play minions, right?
So it's funny to think that, like, everything's going to be taken away from Druid. Not only their best cards, like Spreading Plague UI, but Nourish was taken away, Wild Growth was taken away, Naturalized spells. So you're just like, oh, what is Druid now? It's just this unknown. What are you?
Beasts, I think.
And it's going to be like the most unknown class at this point.
Right. Well, Druid's never had a bad period, so it's time, right? Did they have a bad period? They had a bad period. Did they ever have a bad period? I don't think they've ever had a bad period.
No, I mean, the thing that sticks out to me most was when it was like the best class with Jade Idol and
And I mean, Aggro. It was the best class, I think, early in
I would say when that expansion rotated out, and then the early there, it might have been a little slow, but I can't remember.
I think after that rotated out, we had UI, and it was,
did we know what to do with UI right away?
I mean, I think so. I mean, Malygus came into play, I think, pretty early after that.
Did it? Okay. I wasn't quite sure.
I don't think Druid because of Nourish and because of Innervate and because of Wild Growth, it's just never been bad.
Like, and Malygos is still really strong. Yeah, I still play Malygos and do really well with it, especially versus the Hunters.
Yeah, that's true. Just it's going to take a little longer to get there now nowadays. But
you can't be as greedy. You can't be as thick. You can't use Lich King anymore and Mally Druids.
Yeah, like, but it is a win condition. You know, it's still there with the Floop, right? Like you can still... Right. Still copy it and do big old combo at the end. It'll probably be something about getting to that point, you know, and figuring that out. But yeah, so same with here, you know, I've just been brainstorming a little bit and, you know, just it's just, this period is the hardest, right? Because you know the new cards are coming out soon. And I mean, the ladder, this is always the month where I just finish the worst of the ladder because I don't do too much.
See, I can finish the easiest because no one else is.
that's a good point.
But I'm still playing the same amount of hours.
I just need to make Dad Legend and then I'll be good. You know, at F5, you know. But yeah, so for sure we're going to be talking about that, just at least the cards that they revealed. Lots of new keywords and things like that. But before we do, I figured we would talk a little bit about some news that happened this week. Just a couple things. First one being that the mobile app is much smaller now, which I don't know if you play a lot, Celissa, on any of the mobile.
Yeah, like, I play on mobile most of the time.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, I actually prefer mobile over desktop. I only play desktop when I have to, which is when I stream. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I'm on mobile almost all the time, which is like when people try and message me in game, I'm like, I'm not responding from mobile.
Right. Yeah. There's no way you're finishing turns if you're responding to that.
But no, I love mobile. It's much better for tournament prep. And,
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because I think the only time I used to play mobile was pretty much when we were at the firesides, you know, tournaments, you know, like that sort of thing. But no question though, Hearthstone was a total hog in terms of storage on your phone. I mean, it was like over 3 gigs, like I think at the highest point. So now if you look at it, it's down to 1.86 gigs, which still is pretty big, but I think that we're just going to have to, you know, we're always going to have a pretty big file there, just given all the assets and everything. But at least it's half the size. That's definitely good. Took them long enough. I don't know why it took so freaking long, but
did it just so I haven't like felt the difference yet, but maybe it's because I wasn't trying to feel the difference.
I mean, if you have a phone that has, you know, like tons of, you know, 128 gigs or whatever, and you know, you don't usually fill it up very much, then you probably don't feel it. But a lot of people, you know, they have like 64, 32, you know, like that. If you take up 10% of that, that's a pretty big deal with just one.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So kudos to the team for doing that. And it's about time. Definitely about time.
Efficiency.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next bit of news to talk about is, this is a juicy one. This is a good one. So the esport team, Hearthstone esport team, had an announcement today on Reddit. Sam Braithwaite, I think that is how you pronounce his last name, the senior global franchise lead for Hearthstone Esport, posted something on Twitter basically addressing the whole Roger and Real thing and kind of went through it. You know, the gist of it is, I would say they're obviously were aware of it. And for those of you that don't know the Roger and Real thing, Roger and Real were these Taiwanese players and they were caught up in two cheating incidents, you know, one being in the global games where they, you know, one of them was able to watch, you know, on a delayed view of delayed stream and was able to see like their opponent's cards. And then, you know, they obviously got caught for that. They were disqualified at that point and then kicked, you know, basically were out of the tournament. And they were like on the verge of being top eight too. So it was a big deal that happened. And you know, that involved Tom and Shaxi as well, but also, you know, Roger and I believe Real as well were involved in the, in win trading, which, you know, those of you not familiar with win trading, that's when you're at the top of legend, and you can confirm this or not. So like when you're at the top of legend, when you win, you go up more than you go down. Is that how it works?
So when you're in the top, there's bubbles. It's kind of weird. So there's times where like I could be ranked 25 and win and get to 23 and then win and be at 23 still. Like you could just, like sit there and win again, 22, and then you could like hit this bubble and like rise to 10. And you're like, well, now I'm ranked 10. Like it's there's bubbles. It's a little interesting. But obviously, like the more in the gutter you are, the less you climb. And then once you're in the middle, you climb more. And then once you're at the top, you're not climbing very fast.
Okay, so like once you get past these bubbles, I guess, you know, there's definitely a point where you can kind of win and lose at the same, like you can go fit 500 and you can actually continue to climb. And that's usually when this win trading thing happens. And it generally happens at the top. And I don't know how many people do it, but you know, this is not the first time it's happened and people have gotten caught. But anyways, Roger and Real got caught doing it. And the Hearthstone esports team has never said anything about it. You know, like it came out that it happened, but they hadn't really made a statement about it at all. And so this is like the first statement talking about it since then. And what he basically said was that it sounded like through their internal process, you know, of how, you know, they handle these type of incidences that, you know, it kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit in terms of like how the violations were, or at least how the warning was given. You know, I don't think the warnings are like a public thing. You know, I think they would have given the warnings privately and then, you know, it would have just been escalated, you know, however. Right. And, I think that because of some issues internally, like some of this stuff just didn't happen. And so, or at least got delayed, which meant that Roger was able to participate in HCT. And obviously he's done super great in HCT 2018. And he's in the championships at this point. And by the way, the team's response, I think the team was feeling like they had to respond to this because there's been so much negative feedback, you know, or just just people complaining about Roger and he's a cheater and this affects the integrity of HCT. And so what Sam said here is that they will be allowed to participate in the new 2019 Masters qualifiers and the Masters Tour events, but they won't be able to, or they won't be invited to any of the Grandmaster, you know, Hearthstone Grandmaster, you know, big events, I guess. I think that's what that means, right? Inaugural year of Hearthstone Grandmaster. Yeah, the Grandmasters are those huge events for each region. So that's how they're getting penalized for this. I mean, there's not really any statement about if that continues on to the next year or not, but it's definitely this year at the very least. So they are doing something about it. Celissa, what do you think about all this? Like how are your thoughts or what are your thoughts on Roger and, you know, and Real as well. And, but particularly Roger, obviously because of his success in HCT and, just this whole statement in what, you know, Sam has said here.
So I definitely agree they needed to take farther steps because if your punishment is, hey, you can't do that, so you're DQ'd from this current tournament, then it gives this incentive to maybe certain players who think, oh, well, if I cheat and get caught, it'll just penalize me for this current one and there'll be no consequence. Like, because that's not really a consequence. It's like, well, this one just won't count. And so you need a punishment that says, hey, you can't do this. So, and this is your punishment, you know? And so I'm glad they realized, they need an actual punishment, not just banning them from the one that they DQ'd in, you know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, what do you think about the whole, I mean, he basically has two strikes. I mean, he's done something that's broken the rules twice now.
I don't think I realized that he also was win trading. I knew about the HCT. And I how did they catch them win trading? Is it because they kept queuing into each other? Or
yeah, I'm pretty sure if you went back and looked at the, you know, like them internally, Blizzard the could easily look at,
interesting.
And when they can see, I mean, there's definitely a pattern to it.
Yeah.
I don't think people actually play them out legit.
Yeah. So they definitely need a much larger punishment if they've cheated in two different ways. Like they're just finding ways to cheat the system.
Yeah.
And that's a punishable offense in my opinion. So I'm glad they took those steps. Obviously the community was pretty outraged about it, though. I think he proved himself a good player because he won the event, the last event.
I mean, I don't. I don't think
it's not. He made misplays a lot, but that.
Oh dang!
I mean, okay. I didn't see all of his matches, but the way he played Questrogue, or no, was it Questrogue?
Was it Questrogue?
Yeah, Questrogue. I was like, what is he doing?
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I think it was
Questrogue. But he proved himself, so it makes me upset. But I'm like, if you're this good of a player, why do you need to cheat? Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's really a... I mean, in the end, I feel like the how good he is versus what happened are probably... are separate from each other. You know, like, I think that one side of me is like, okay, HCT World Championships, I want to see the best 16 players there, right? And for sure, Roger is one of the best 16 players. I mean, he's... at the very least, and top 20 player in the world, and should be there. But at the same time, it's like, the rules are there, and if you break the rules, you should absolutely be punished. And I mean, I feel like one time, okay, maybe it's getting DQ'd from the tournament, and then something, probation kind of period, right? But yeah. But the win trading, I think, actually happened before. It actually happened in April, so before the Global Games thing. But in the end, he had two things, two situations where he broke the rules. And I think if you get two of them, I don't think it's like a three strike, you're out type of thing. I mean, I think two is pretty severe. Like, you should be getting something very, very bad. Like, I don't think he should be participating in any of HCT 2019.
I could see that. They probably shouldn't let him do the lowers, but
yeah, you shouldn't be able to do anything. And just to really make a statement. Can you imagine if he wins the championship? I mean, that's, I don't know.
That would be
a major statement if you had a world champion that was, I don't know. It would probably scuff the HCT as well. But
give me one second. Hold on.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, it's not HCT. I keep calling 2019 HCT. It's not HCT. It's the
sorry, I had to close the my door.
Grandmaster. Yeah, I was just saying, like, I keep calling it HCT, but 2019 is not HCT. It's
called, right.
Yeah, a brand new thing. So it's potentially a PR nightmare for Blizzard, to be honest. But in some ways, I think it'd be better for them if Roger did not win or didn't do well in the tournament. And I hate to say that, for all the Taiwanese fans out there, but it's probably the truth in terms of Blizzard.
He probably shouldn't have been allowed to participate in the first place.
Right. And it's like one of those things where they could really pay the price for allowing that to happen. But
And I'm sure, speaking to the players who participated in the winters, no one wanted to say anything. No one wanted to admit they didn't want him there.
But they didn't. They didn't, right? Like, I don't think they did.
They said, I don't want to talk about it. That's all they would tell me when I asked.
Right.
And I know you had Raven on the show. Raven's like, it's not my job to talk about it. Like, he talked about that my job is to report. Like,
right. I mean, as a caster, sure. Like, he's not supposed, he's not supposed to, he's supposed to be unbiased there, right?
But I think the overall consensus from the tone was that no one wanted him there.
I mean, he takes a spot.
Yeah, he's taking a spot.
He takes a spot from somebody who's, been trying equally as hard and didn't break the rules, right? So I think that's where it's a real killer is that that happens. And, on top of this, right, there's this whole other type of storyline or whatnot that's going on that involves like Saiyan, right? Because David spoke out against how he thought that Roger should not be allowed to participate in HCT, and apparently what people are saying or is that the Taiwanese fans aren't going to be welcoming of David when he goes, Saiyan.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna get very good reception there because the Taiwanese fans are behind Roger. So
even though he cheated twice?
Yeah, apparently. And that's really unfortunate. Like it's the win trading especially, right? And I think I saw Firebat talking about this at one point, but the win trading directly impacted his HCT standings.
Right.
I mean, like that.
That's how you get your score.
Right, that's how you get your points, right? So,
and if you haven't done the end of end of month ladder grind. It is so tiring. I've done it once and I spent 30 hours playing in the last 2 days. 30 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. To lock in my top 200 spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So imagine those people going for 50 or 25 because the decay, it's there, especially when a lot of people are trying.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready to re-queue if you're about to drop. You're constantly trying to get into top 100. And then there's times like you get greedy, try to get top 50, and then you jump. It's a whole thing. So they figured out a system to cheat it when all these other people are spending 30 plus hours.
Yeah.
In 2 days. It's very tiring.
Yeah. So that did have a direct impact on results. That's why I think, you know, another reason why I feel like it should have impacted him. I mean, it should have been done this year. He shouldn't have been able to compete in HTT. I mean, compete in HTT up to where it happened, and then, you know, he shouldn't have been able to do winners for sure. Which obviously would have impacted him being in the World Championships as well. But better late than never. I mean, it is good that Blizzard's done something. It would have been just awful for them to just take this, you know, just outrage from the community and not do anything. But, you know, I hope it doesn't affect the World Championship. This is, like, definitely not how we want to end HTT, you know, on this type of note. So,
right.
You know, I'll be honest. I kind of hope that it does just kind of end up being not much of a storyline and Roger, you know, doesn't do too well, because if he does do well, then I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, it's going to be, it's going to be asterisk by that, right? Like a total asterisk champion. If he wins.
Yeah. No, they won't want that. Cause they're already trying to come up. They're already coming up with celebrations to celebrate HTT being the final. So it's not how they're going to want to see it go down.
Yeah. And so we'll see what ends up happening with him, but hopefully this is a very, very good message to everybody player wise that, you know, just don't do these type of shortcuts, you know, like you don't really need it.
You'll be punished months later.
Yeah. No, that's not what we're promoting here, Solissa. We're totally not promoting that, but you know, hopefully people will just stop, you know, doing those type of things, because there's always that the underbelly that we hear about, and there's, I don't know, I never get a chance to see any of it, but you know, there's always talk that there's always people trying to get ahead, you know, so.
Oh yeah, I hear talks too, man.
Yeah. Not going to be sharing those here, but we need a little spice. So I guess this is providing some of the spice leading up to the World Championships, right? All right, but you know, we'll see. We'll end up seeing what happens there, and you know, I guess let us know, you know, what you guys think in terms of how you guys are responding to all of this. But next up, we're going to get into the Rise of Shadows. But before we do, I just want to let folks know that this episode of Valley Town is sponsored by Robinhood. If you're not familiar with Robinhood, Robinhood is an investment app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, and all at all commission-free. So you don't have to pay anything extra in terms of when you make a transaction. While other brokerages charge up to $10 every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can trade stocks, keep all your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to start. You can just immediately start with any amount. The simple intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. You can view easy to understand charts, market data, and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. That's the great thing about it, is that it's all a mobile app. You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular. And with Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, get custom notifications for price movements, like if some stock just jumps like super, you know, a ton, you can actually get a notification for that, and then just never miss the right moment to invest. So Robinhood is giving viewers of Value Town a free share of any like some popular stock, and so you get one share, just kind of help you get going. And I've done it before, so it's like these little, it's almost like little packs or whatever, and they just like revolve, and you have to pick one. And once you pick one, it shows you like what you got. And so you can get any, you can get like a share of Apple. Like it really, it's just depends on how lucky you get and whatnot. But you
know,
Apple, yeah, exactly. Apple, Ford, Sprint. But anyways, it has to help you get started with your portfolio. So sign up at value.robinhood.com and you can participate now. All right, the Rise of the Shadows. Let's talk some new. I forget. I always forget to turn that off. Man, I'm such a nub. I've been doing this so long, and I'm such a, like a nub. But the Rise of Shadows. They finally announced the name of it after it got leaked a little early for whatever
they
reason.
Did it that day, right?
Yeah,
I think it was like the same day.
It was the same day.
Every expansion's getting leaked these days.
I don't know, man. It's like
at least the last two have been.
Did the last one get leaked too? I don't even remember that.
The last one had two separate leaks that were slightly different. But one was correct.
Wow, that's brutal.
Yeah,
but yeah, so Rise of the Shadows, it's pretty interesting theme, to be honest. It's
I think it's juicy. I like it.
Yeah, you like it. It's got this whole invading dollar or some kind of like heist or something on Dalaran, and what was funny is that they showed this graphic of it all, right? And it looked like a battle royale, like you're dropping into
Right. From there, it's like, where are we dropping, boys?
Exactly. It's like was that on purpose? Like, what do you think?
Do I think it was on purpose?
Like, was it meant to be like a battle royale?
I mean, maybe. But maybe it's just we've seen so many. It was in their subconscious. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I mean, even Tetris is doing it. We're all doing battle royale. Oh, Tetris.
I guess it is, yeah, battle royale. The Tetris
thing. Maybe that's going to be the single player.
Yeah, look at this, guys. All right, this is like totally dropping from, you know, dropping from the plane or whatever, whichever game you're playing. So there's five of them, though.
No, that's the blimp. That's Fortnite.
Oh, that's Fortnite. Is it blimp?
There is a blimp.
Blimp bus. Yeah.
Blimp bus.
I guess so. But yeah, so you've got the characters are, you got Rafam, you got Dr. Boom again, you got Hagatha again, you've got King Togwaggle, and who's the last one again? Oh, I forget.
Rafam, Hagatha, Cobalt Dude.
Oh gosh, who's the last one? I'm like having a
Boom. Did you say Boom?
Yep, said Boom.
Who's the witch doctor woman?
Hagatha? You're talking about Hagatha the witch? Or?
No. The woman.
Oh god, we were saying
the psychic woman who's in the videos. Right?
Oh my gosh, chat, help us. Oh, we are having such a brain fart here. It's crazy.
I don't know names.
All right, I'm gonna have to look this up. I'm like having
a fortune teller.
Is it just the fortune teller?
Madame Lazul? Is her name Madame Lazul?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
That's the new priest hero.
Yeah, I think that's right, Lazul. Yeah, man, my WoW lore is like so. I'm not even sure that is Lazul even. Yeah, I think it was Lazul is from WoW, right? Or is that just a Hearthstone thing? I'm getting all mixed up now with all
I'm
the lore.
Assuming they're all from WoW.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if all of it is, but that one might be. But anyways, obviously, very iconic, I guess, villains in all this, given that it's a Rise of Shadows. And you know, pretty cool. You know, I think I like the theme a lot. You know, they're obviously using some WoW lore, but at the same time, they're kind of adding this cool dynamic to it, which is a lot of fun. So first impressions of the Dave Kozak video. Definitely not as good as the Boomsday one. The Boomsday one was like crazy, crazy good. But,
yeah, I actually really liked this video. He was doing his song and dance, there's just this scene where he's slowly coming in, and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it had that whole, what was that show on PBS that was exactly like that?
Aladdin.
You know? Aladdin, what?
It no. seemed just like Aladdin,
what?
No?
Wait, what do you, I was talking about the Dave Kozak
video. Well, yeah, in the beginning of the trailer when it showed like the actual cinematic, that felt like it.
I thought you were talking. I mean, I'm talking about him sitting there, right, by the fire and all that stuff.
Yeah, that could have been better. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I liked it though.
Yeah, I mean, Dave is. I mean,
I like
he's
that
such
they
a great
showed
actor.
Us all the new mechanics, which Mm-hmm. I thought they, you know, are very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so. For sure. Okay, so why don't we just jump into the cards? I mean, there's obviously a lot of little stuff. We can talk about some of the little stuff first, and then we'll get into the cards. So we've got... Oh, let me switch this over to...
Like the Game of Thrones advertisement?
Yeah, I know, right? It's just... keep thinking about that right now, too.
I'm rewatching them all.
Yeah, me too. I am, too. I'm just finishing season one right now. It's amazing how much you forget, actually.
I know. Well, I've actually never saw seasons 5 through 7, so...
Oh, okay.
I had to start from scratch to, like, figure it out.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, because I forgot it all, so I had to rewatch it to get to season 5.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, so anyways, the Rise of Shadows, the release is on the 9th. There's some new mechanics, Twin Spell being one of them, Lackeys being like this new type of minion, and Schemes being a major theme as well. Every class has their own scheme, and it's like their plans, right? And how to tackle Dalaran. And I guess some new or some old mechanics will return, or at least develop some more too. So they have this whole concept of like the good guys and the bad guys. So like the people that we just talked about were all the bad guys, the League of Evil, and they're associating classes with them. So that's Priest, Rogue, Shaman, Warrior, and Warlock, 5 of them. And the Dalaran Defenders are Mage, Druid, Hunter, and Paladin. And Gotrix just said only the bad guys have schemes. Okay, so not all the classes will have schemes. I think the good guys may have something later, but maybe they have a different type of thing. But for now,
I didn't realize only the bad guys had schemes.
Yeah, I didn't actually quite read into that as well. But yeah, so there's the actual heroes for each of them. There's not necessarily going to be like a hero for each of them. I don't think
they're legendary, correct?
Yeah. So I mean, it's like Tagawago. I don't think it's going to be a hero later. Just like this year.
Oh, like alternate hero.
Yeah. Like an actual,
oh no.
Yeah.
But two of them have it. So
yeah.
In Rogue, Warlock, and Priest won't have alternate heroes. So that's actually an interesting point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the twin spells are what the good guys have. Yeah. So.
Guys have twins. The other ones don't.
No. So bad guys have schemes, good guys have twin spells.
Hmm.
And let's see, the pre-order bundles, we've got a $50 one and an $80 one. The $50 one comes with 50 packs and the card back and a random legendary, which is awesome. The $80 bundle comes with 80 card packs, a jewel, the Jewel of Lazul card back, just like the other one, a random legend as well, and then Madame Lazul.
A random golden legend.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. A random. No, is it golden? It just says a random.
Yeah, it's golden. I didn't write it there, but it is.
Awesome. Okay. And then you can get
both
the
bundles if you want.
Well, yeah, you can buy both. Yeah. It's a good deal.
You have both?
Nice. I haven't bought it quite yet. I'll probably buy it really soon here. But you get Madame Lazul, the priest hero, in the last one. So yes. I'm really, really interested to see that one.
I actually like her. I've been using her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think I would at first because I like Tyrande, but there's something about her that her hero power is really cool. It's this like pink stars out of it, and it's really pretty. I'm really digging it.
Nice.
I didn't think I would though, but I do.
Yeah, I like the. I mean, I play enough Priest, so that's definitely one I'll be using for sure. All right, so we've got also the reveal schedule, which let me show you that as well.
But they had just announced the first thing with Korra.
Oh, did they? I missed that.
Yes, they tweeted about it. I'll grab the Twitter.
Did they talk about the card or?
No, they talked about the first reveal stream.
Oh, okay. So cool. Korra gets
the card reveal stream with Korra, Chris Atlas, Chris Sierra and Peter Whalen.
Oh, okay. Oh, so Korra's going to be like the Brian Kibler of it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Korra's going to be doing that.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. They just announced it 2 hours ago, and it's going to be on March 25th at 10 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Yeah, it'll be awesome seeing Korra get a chance to do one of those.
Yeah, she'll do great.
Yeah. Well, she's always great. So it looks like we're going to get this is going to be the big one on 25th. Looks like we're going to get one tomorrow at 1 sometime.
Oh.
So that's kind of nice. I guess this will be a surprise one. I don't know if it's internally or community. But then the 26th is when it's just like, okay, one, the whole 5 a day type of thing. Yeah. There's a bunch each day. And any of these look pretty interesting to you, the card art?
Tyrande. That's Tyrande right there, right?
Where?
Bottom right?
Bottom there, right? Oh, yeah, that could be. Yeah, that does look kind of like Tyrande. Okay, that is cool.
Well, what that's that mech. Wait, what's the...
this guy?
Yeah, what's that guy?
This guy looks totally different. Look at
the Murloc, to the left!
Yeah, that's a Murloc. That's another Murloc right there. Two Murlocs.
Murlocs.
Oh my god, shaman. Two Murlocs. I might actually be able to use it in Shaman when I get that stupid Murloc spell all the time. is that spell going away? Maybe that spell's
going away. It probably is because the quest is going away. So
thank goodness. That's the most useless spell.
Never get
spell.
To use it.
Always
it's never
it.
Going to be efficient. But that means Hagatha's going to be better.
Yeah, true. Ooh, look at this. This is like a, I don't know what, the zombie pirate or something? I don't know what this is. This is weird.
She's real creepy.
Yeah, this is such a hunter card, and I can't even...
Where's this schedule at?
Let me link it to you real quick. There you go.
Thank you.
And yeah, so pretty. I mean, the card art's obviously very, very interesting. I love how they do this now. They've done this, you know, for a while now, but I love how they kind of give you a little bit of a preview so you can start guessing.
Yeah.
Milhouse? Is Milhouse in one of these? Where's that little gnome? I don't see Milhouse anywhere. Yeah, I don't think Milhouse is in here. That'd be kind of interesting. Milhouse is still in the set. Like, it would have to be like a new Milhouse, right? Oh, it's this guy. I think he's thinking maybe it's Milhouse, but I don't think so. This looks like some kind of mech-ish thing, right? Or
yeah, that looks
Frankenstein or something. I don't know.
Hopefully, mech hunter needs a mech with its new card
for sure. Okay, let's get into the cards now. Enough of this. This fluffy stuff with this the expansion. Let's get to the goods.
Nitty gritty.
All right. So let's talk about. We'll talk about these three. These three are not the most. It talks about the lackeys. So we'll kind of start there. And there's a twin spell too. Okay. So we've got Evil Miscreant, which is a 3-mana 1/5 rogue card combo. Add 2 random lackeys to your hand. And let me show you the lackeys real quick, too.
Yeah, I actually haven't looked at the lackeys yet.
Okay, so this is, remember, this is a 3-mana, 1/5 card.
Combo.
And I'm going to turn this up. I'm going to turn this off after
and 2 random lackeys.
Okay, here's the lackeys.
Okay. Is Rogue the only class with lackeys?
I don't know. I don't think they said, right? I think the lackeys...
Right, lackeys sounds like they can come from the 2/1 that gives you 2 random...
Yeah.
Cards, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily just a rogue thing, but definitely the cards that we've seen so far it is. So the lackeys, there's 5 different lackeys that you can get. This is all RNG depending on which one you get. And one's an ethereal lackey. It's a 1/1. All of these are 1-mana 1/1s. They just have different battle cries. So the ethereal one has battle cry, discover spell. The faceless one is summon a random 2-cost minion, which... That's pretty good.
That's good value.
That's really good, actually.
It's not even a combo. It's like, here.
Yeah, it's just like, hey.
You're, 1 mana, have 3.
Yeah, right? Crazy. And then Goblin Lackey, give a friendly minion +1 attack and rush.
Really good with...
think so?
There's some like poison stuff you can do in Rogue.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. That's true. Might be better in like, I don't know, the Hunter stuff already has rush, though. Cobalt Lackey. Yeah. Which sounds like something we've had before, but deal 2 damage. Okay.
Not as exciting.
Right. Witchy Lackey, which doesn't have any purple in it, which is kind of interesting. Battlecry, transform a friendly minion into one that costs 1 more. So you're kind of shaman-like, right?
Yeah. It's a little scary RNG, but fun.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah. I think the faceless one by far is the best one. Like, it has so much tempo. Can you imagine that playing that on well, actually, you can't play it on turn 1, obviously, because the miscreant is a 3-drop. But I don't know. I feel like if you're going to be playing some kind of wide strategy, that's a really, really good card.
Yeah. I think my favorite has to be the ethereal, right?
Oh, the ethereal? Oh, discover spell? You think so? Okay.
There's something about discovering to me.
Yeah,
that
I love it too.
I love discovering. It's better than get random, right? Because random is like, oof, like what a whiff. Discover, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Cabal is so, like, doing two damage after turn three or four or whatever, yeah. It seems very weak to me.
Seems strong in, like, an arena. Arena would love that. They're like, yes.
Yeah, pain. Yeah, I think so.
They love pain.
That's true. That's definitely true. But kind of bringing back the cards again so we can look at them. Let me bring it back. Here we go. So yeah, the Miscreant, so you basically get a very underpowered three drop, and you have to combo it too, right? So that's
right.
That's pretty bad as well.
But those are really good pieces for being future combo pieces. If you think about it. I give a bunch of ones that are easy procs.
Yeah.
Both later.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, it doesn't do a ton of damage, but you know, I think two of them that discover spell, two of them that put two drops on the board, two, you know, like I think that definitely is interesting value. But these type of cards in the past have never done well. You know, like the ones where you put a pretty terrible body up on the board.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad body.
Yeah,
it's a 1/5. Like, what rogue wants a 1/5?
I know. Like,
can cold blood it, and it's no longer.
If it was taunted or something, you know, it might be okay. But I would have preferred a 2/4 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it maybe have been too strong if it was a 2/4 though.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I guess I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Something about the card just feels.
But this is the only thing we've seen of a way to get the lackeys, right? There's gonna be other ways because other classes should be able to use the lackeys. So
yeah, that's true. Yes, yeah, so, I mean I don't know. It seems like it's deliberate with rogue here that there's something that we might be missing in terms of rogue. I mean, I guess the lackey could do face damage, right? Like is it a minion thing only? I forget if it was only minion.
I think it was 2 damage, but
it was two damage.
Yeah, some 2 damage.
You know, maybe getting 4 damage is pretty good.
Well, imagine if you talk while I go scheme all right. These endless lackeys.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So yeah, anyways, that's evil Miscreant. We've got a neutral card here, 3 mana 3/4 spell word jeweler. It's a rare card. Battle cry: your hero can't be targeted by spells or hero powers until your next turn. So protect your hero. It's basically makes it stealth. Or outside of minions can still hit it, right? But it could be good against, you know, some type of burst mage or druid Malygos kind of thing.
This is really good in arena and standard. It's only going to see play if there's for some reason a ton of burst cards.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Like, even if there is a ton of burst cards, this is like a 3-mana. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's like a half stealth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even good as the paladin.
It's
spell.
Really good in arena. I could see this being great in arena.
Yeah.
Well, so in arena, anything that's you love 3 drops, it's really premium.
Yeah.
So you favor 3 drops and 3 mana 3/4, it's a premium card. So that's what you look for in 3 drops. So the fact that you get a 3/4 and they can't target your face that turn.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I think 3/4 has just become the new standard now. Standard body. Well,
like, 3/3 is the vanilla. Anything less is And then so 3/4 is what you always look to get.
Yeah, Spider tank. All right, 8 mana druid card here, the Forced's Aid. It's a rare card. And this is the first twin spell keyword, and it's summon 5/2/2 treants. And what twin spell means, by the way, is that when you play this card, you will get a copy of this card minus the twin spell keyword. So you'll end up immediately drawing the Forest Aid again. It's just it won't have the twin spell. I think it's called Forest Aid again, but it just won't have the keyword.
Yeah, it's an echo effect that you get to keep the echo.
One time. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you get to keep the echo until you play it the second time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So 5/2/2 treants. I mean,
that's really expensive.
It's really expensive. I mean, what you get out of it is actually pretty good. It's just, is it actually good in Hearthstone, though? Is it actually good in the meta?
You need to be building up, not out, that, you know? Like, unless... I don't know. I don't see this working out well.
I'm trying to think of, like, what common removal do we have that's still in the game that can just wipe that board. You know, like a Primordial Drake-ish type of thing.
Yes, Starfall.
Okay, Starfall. I mean, you still have Consecrate. You still have
Blizzard.
Yeah, two twos are just so easy to remove. You know, so you'd have to have. I mean, can you combo Forest Aid with something to like protect it? Like, you can't do Soul of Forest. Yeah, you can't.
It's like eight mans. So you only have two extra.
Right. Yeah, this is pretty rough. Pretty
rough. Yeah. God, these I will say, I'm pretty sure they've been so I've been playing the single player of Rumble Run. Yeah. And when you face Treants right now, they are white blank cards. So anytime a Treant comes on, it's this like white blank card. I think it's because they're changing the art for Treants for the new expansion.
Okay.
That's super bugged right now. Treants are bugged in Rumble Run, I believe.
I'm surprised they released it then. That's crazy.
I think they're internally doing something and they didn't realize it affected the Rumble Run, but people like me who play Rumble Run at night to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I noticed.
Actually, somebody in the chat made a good point. Like, is it easy to remove twice in a row? Probably not. You know, but...
Blizzard.
Yeah. But you can make the same... I mean, they had cheaper cards that filled the board before. You know what I mean? Like, this is an expensive card that fills the board.
Lose all your mana, but
right,
fill.
Right.
So, living mana.
Yeah. I mean, if you ended up with five times... Was it 20? You do 20 damage with one Savage Roar, I guess. That's,
I mean, spreading play, you could get seven for six mana, five.
Yeah. Not good value. Definitely not good value. But, I don't know. Maybe Druid will have to resort to that, though.
Yeah. Or Druid.
We'll have to see. Okay, we got a wave of legendaries now, which is fun, obviously. We've got a neutral seven drop that's six. Attack, six health, Chef Nami, and again, it's legendary. Battlecry, if your deck is empty, summon six grease fire elementals, which is hilarious. Grease fire theme is just funny.
I heard the story of this guy in the WoW lore. Apparently he, like, when you try and do a task from him, he's really greedy and won't give you the reward very easily. It's like, he's like
really
popular in the World of Warcraft lore. Yeah,
so you have to get him to do it multiple times then.
Yeah, he's just like one of those annoying characters that like he just doesn't drop.
Doesn't feel like giving it to you. Right. Okay, that's funny. That's cool. I mean, that's cool they found a very popular character to do this card on. But in terms of deck is empty, like
Prep Myra's.
Yeah.
Yeah, prep, that's Myra's. What people are talking about. You prep your Myra's and you just stick them on the board on turn.
And then you lose the Psychic Scream. or whatever.
Well, your hand could still have the Spooters in it or something.
Wait, Psychic Scream is...
That's
gone. Yeah, Psychic Scream's gone.
But Mass Hysteria is not.
Rotating. Yeah, Mass Hysteria. Yeah, exactly. Mass Hysteria would just be... It's six of them, too.
It'd
be
bam, perfect. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, it's done. That's the one thing about Chef Nomi to me. It's like, I don't think you can go all in because if people know you have a Chef Nomi, they're just going to hold their removal and you're done.
Right.
Yeah, so...
But it's just like... So for a mage... Blizzard doesn't deal with it. Flamestrike doesn't deal with it. Dragon's Fury deals with it. Is that rotating?
Dragon's Fury?
Yeah. I can't remember. Otherwise, a mage can't deal with it.
I'd have to look at that list of all the cards again. Regardless, right? Like, there's no way they make a card that's, like, super easy to... Yeah, like
this could also. I wonder if there's going to be fatigue decks where that just run this and then they stick it at the end, kind of like when you used to see the big mages both run Alana and whoever stuck the Alana.
Or it's just Mechathune, right? Just slap this after you're trying to get to Mechathune. This is like the turn before Mechathune. They have to deal with that, or they die to Mechathune.
Yeah,
you know, so it's. I think it's pretty challenging. Actually, how do you kill Mechathune? Is there any easy way to kill Mechathune these days?
Naturalize.
No, Naturalize is gone.
Oh, when he leaves.
Naturalize is gone. Cataclysm is gone.
Like silence.
So silence. No, definitely not silence. But I mean, I guess that's kind of what Mechathune was intended to do. I think Mechathune was intended to live a turn.
Voodoo doll.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Voodoo doll. Voodoo dolls. Yeah. That's possible. You can't do it in one turn though.
Yeah, you voodoo doll ping it.
How much is Mechathune?
Oh, you're talking about like if you wanted to remove your own Mechathune.
Yeah, like right now, Mechathune just wins in one turn, right?
Right.
So. Is that still possible?
So you could do it as a mage. You Mechathune prep your with a coin, or you reduce Mechathune and then you prep the walk the plank.
With mage.
No, sorry, with rogue.
Oh, with rogue. Okay.
So rogue just reduces the Mechathune and then they prep walk the plank.
That's true. Oh, there's a spell that kills undamaged stuff too. Okay. Yeah, I guess it's still possible. It's definitely much harder to pull off Mechathune now, but this seems to be very, very complimentary to that. You just like fill the board with 6/6s while the next turn you win anyways, you know, in some ways. So this would have upgraded it in this current expansion if it was around. All right, the next one is Rafam is back, which is super cool. Archvillain Rafam, because I was a huge fan of Rafam the first time around. The Archthief.
I don't think I knew him.
Really?
I don't think I was.
It was just so slow. It was like seven. I think it was the same thing. 7 mana or 9 mana.
When was he in Hearthstone? Was I around yet?
Rafam was. Oh man, people are going to tell me this one. I forget if Rafam was. It wasn't Grand Tournament, was it? It was like around there. League of Explorers, what it was. League of Explorers, and. Rafam was a guy, I think he was a 9-drop, or was he a 10-drop? No, he's 9-drop, that's what it is. 9-drop, and then he would create this random 10-mana spell, and the 10-mana spells were awesome, though. They were really, really cool. There was one that would just, like, fill your hand with, like, a spell, and one that, I'm having trouble remembering them all, but anyways, the point is, the 10-mana spells were, like, really, really good, but it was just too slow. Like, you could never even get to them, you know, because everything was just so expensive. And so anyways, I'm really happy to see them bring Rafam back and bring Rafam back in a really epic way. It's a 7-mana, 7/8 taunt, which is like, that's already pretty damn good. You know, like
taunt.
Yeah, it's like a mini Lich King like by itself right there.
Yeah, well, it's slightly buffed to Lich.
Yeah, true. And then Battlecry, replace your hand and deck with legendary minions, like Golden Monkey on steroids level.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
It's so RNG, though. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how I think about this card.
Yeah. I mean, sure it's fun, right? No question, meme-wise, it's super fun. I am actually very curious to see if, because of the new specialist format, you know, like, you only have these 10 cards you can change, right? If you actually ran Rafam, you're actually getting more than those, you know, like those three decks. You're getting more than those 40 cards. You're getting potentially like 100 cards, you know, like whatever they can have. And like my experience with Golden Monkey back in the day, you played Golden Monkey, right? Did you ever play that card?
Yes.
Okay. Golden Monkey back in the day, I felt like half of the cards I would get would be good. Half of them would suck.
Yeah.
Half of them would be good.
Yeah. And you'd wait till later to play it so that you kind of were like running out of options because you're playing more hand control style.
Yeah.
You know, I need to start powering this down. Let's go.
Right. Would you play this card? Let's say you are in a bad matchup, you know, and you just put this card as like kind of like just flip of a coin, hopefully get out of this. And you
I'd say anytime you're in like an unfavorable matchup, put it down on 7. Yeah,
exactly. Just throw this baby down.
Favorable.
Yeah. Hope the RNG gods are on your team.
You're getting rid of all spells, which means you're probably getting rid of most your heal, most like
that's a good point. I didn't really think about that angle of it. Yeah, that's true.
So, but I mean, you get to tap, so you get to things faster, but you never know how expensive they'll be. You know, all your synergy's gone, but
you were in a bad matchup anyways, right?
Yeah, if you're in a bad matchup though, I'd slam it.
Yeah, and just hope you get some awesome, the crazy cards, right? And
get the dragon collect.
That's right. Get the next card, which is a mage, 10 mana, Collectgos. Instead of Malagos, it's Collectgos. And it's a 4/12 dragon, just like all the other ones. All right, except for, you know, except for one, or a couple, a few of them. Your first spell each turn costs zero, and then Battlecry discover a spell. So you get a spell. You basically get a chance to cast a spell, right?
Right. They showed in the video them casting a free flame strike.
Sick.
It was so sick. Oh.
Yeah, you'd have to build a. It'd have to be like a big spell mage, something where you're running a bunch of big spells. Which mage has got some pretty good big spells.
His Pyroblast is classic. Yeah,
it's 10.
And bam.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, you can only do it once, but.
We can only discover once.
You could discover, but you could put, you know, you could add Pyro to your deck if you wanted.
Yeah, no, but it seems doesn't like they wouldn't synergize. It's more of a. And it's kind of funny because people started catching on to Dragon Mage just in this last month. And look. They gave us a Dragon Mage more, you know?
Yeah. Dude, you know what would be pretty sweet is... Well, no, this wouldn't happen because the battle cry is not there. But I was gonna say, like, how do you get this out? Like, is there any way to cheat this out? And I was thinking Spiteful could cheat it out, but then, it, you know, you would have to...
You missed the battle cry.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you missed still, the battle cry.
But Spiteful's rotating, so...
Oh, God, man. I like calling out all these cards that are rotating. Yeah, so it needs support. Definitely needs support. Needs to, I'm really curious to see if there's a way to cheat it out early. And if there's not a way to cheat it out, then there needs to be some really great value spells. Otherwise, I just don't see this happening.
I think it's good. I'm going to say it's happening.
You think so? Okay.
I do. Yeah. I think a big mage supports it for a turnaround.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it does.
It feels like that old school, you know, druid with the, what should I call it? The refill mana thing, you know, where you can just, the 10 mana card that would give you 10 mana, the 10 mana crystals.
That was the dude.
Yeah.
Kuhn.
Yeah. Kuhn. It was just like, it feels a little bit like that. You know, you get a chance to throw a big body down and you probably clear the board and, so it's interesting. It's a dragon too, which I'm definitely all for getting more dragons.
It's the potential for 20 mana every turn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think that's a trap though. It's a total trap. Total trap to fall for that. But it's got at least some fun deck building elements to it. I still will probably play Rafan first and give that a try. I mean, he replaces my entire deck, too. That's so sweet.
Good stuff. Yeah. You can get Kalagos with it.
They should have given this card. This is the card, guys, you want the first golden to be. Because if you get this card, you get all the, you know, like if you don't actually have all the legendary minions, you get a chance to play all the legendary minions.
You know what card. First golden legendary I got was Whizbang.
Nice.
I got a lot of golden decks, man.
Yeah, that's a valuable one. What class is Kalagos? It's a mage. So, all right, that's a couple more classes with their legendaries there. Let's kind of move on to the next three. I think these are the last three. It's just the schemes. So, schemes are the new type of cards for the evil, the League of Evil. And the first one we got is a priest one. It's zero mana, Lazul's Scheme, and it's a epic. Reduce the attack of an enemy minion by one until your next turn. Upgrades each turn. And this is the common thing. This is like the whole theme of these schemes. Basically, this thing keeps getting better. It's kind of like Spellstone get better, but after just each turn passes. And there's no limit to it. It just keeps going up. It just, you know, you just keep going infinite damage or whatever. If it does damage. So with this, it's just like, it just keeps reducing the cost of your minions until until whatever minion you're going to cast it on until it gets to zero. So, what do you think of this card? This card is zero mana, and zero mana has always been a very good, you know, I mean, cards that are zero mana generally are very good. So what do you think of this, Alyssa?
So it's interesting. There's another priest card we haven't talked about yet, but it's also zero mana. So I think it's interesting that they've already introduced two zero mana cards for priest.
Which one is that? I think, did I miss that one? Let's see.
There's a few more cards we haven't talked about yet.
Okay, I need to see if I just missed those cards. But
so this one, when you look at it, in my opinion, it's terrible. It's reduce the attack of an enemy minion by one until your next turn. So it's just like one turn, their attack is reduced. You know, Warlock had a card like that, and it was an Echo card. You could reduce a ton of it, and no one ever played it. But with this, I could see it maybe being good if there was like a Shadow Madness type of, oh, I'm going to steal, when I reduce, steal, buff, OTK you. So if it has like something like that, I could see potential. But
yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm trying to have
the support.
I'm trying to imagine like what type of.
It seems like a combo priest card to me.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, reduce, steal it. Like with
Shadow Madness. Shadow.
Is that rotating or is that a classic?
Shadow Madness. Shadow Madness is. Golly, I would suck at Streamer Showdown, dude. I'd suck at my own game. I think it's crazy.
But like, if that was, is that standard?
Shadow Madness is just standard, right? It's just like basic.
That's classic. Then I could see it being a combo card. I don't see, it's way too. It's not greedy enough to be like a true like removal piece that priests would just run.
It's like. I don't know why I feel that way, but I agree with you that it makes sense that it's going to be potentially, I mean, it's definitely a steal combo thing, you know, whether it's Shadow Madness or it's Cabal Shadow Priest or, you know, removal with Shadow Word Pain, you know, that sort of thing. But it just feels so expensive just having, you know.
Zero mana?
Yeah. All the, well, expensive. not expensive. meaning it takes a card slot.
Right. Like, yeah. You only get 30 cards.
Yeah. And it's like if Lyra still existed, dude, I'd be all over this stuff. Like this would just be an auto add, like not even, wouldn't even flinch. But because Lyra's gone, it's like, okay, well, maybe Auctioneer and some Miracle Priest, but you know, this is only a single target too, right? This, you can only change like a giant or something to be small. But
yeah, I don't know. Someone else brought up a point, you could use it and then Topsy to kill the minion, but that's again two card spots.
Right. So I'm on the fence on this one. I definitely can see some a lot of different combos, but it just feels like it's not enough value for a card slot. You know, like you know, I don't even know what type of deck that would be. I guess if it was a combo priest, then I guess that would make sense.
Yeah.
All right. So next one we got here is a rogue scheme. It's the Togwaggle screen scheme. This one's actually rare, though. So not all the schemes are the same rarity.
This one's got a lot of people excited.
Oh, yeah. And it's because choose a minion, shuffle one copy into your deck, upgrades each turn. So you can just fill your hand with some
endless
type
pogos.
Of
pogos.
Yeah, and pogos is obviously the one that they showed us, too. They just, like, filled their entire hands with pogos, and then they just, you know, it was like watching Jade Druid or something.
I want endless Ziliaxes, because Ziliaxes can... they can attach to your pogo because pogo is a mech.
Oh, yeah.
So if you just you get two Togwaggle schemes in your deck, right? So you use one of them on your pogos, you use the other one on your Ziliaxes, you're never going to die. But you have to get there, right? You have to not lose to aggro.
Well, you only get five of each, right? But I guess it's, wait, oh, into your deck. It's into your deck. Oh, sorry. It's into your deck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to get like 10 of them.
Yeah. 10 Ziliaxes. Yeah. Never going to lose.
There's no way that's going to be super strong. Like, what I'm saying is, like, there is no way they didn't test that. Like, it can't be broken.
Well,
that's
only going to work. Like, the reason Pogo Rogue fails is because it loses to aggressive decks. It beats Druid. Like, every time I play Pogo Rogue, at least, I can beat a Druid.
Okay.
Because it can beat the slower decks. Who, like, yo, we've already naturalized twice, and now you're putting up 14, 14, 16, 16s and attaching a Ziliax to it? Like, I can't deal with this.
Right.
So the Pogo Rogue's biggest struggle is aggro, and so unless Rogue actually gets enough early game to deal with that, then, yeah, this card won't work, but I'm excited.
It seems like it works, but... The part of me that's like, no way they would allow this card to be super strong.
It's
you know,
the new Jade Idol.
No, that's the, oh God, that's the last
They never nerfed Jade Idol. They didn't do it.
But Jade Idol was slower, though. Like, this, I was feel like...
It's auto shuffle three.
Yeah, but it was much later, though. I mean, where it actually played a big role. I mean, the pogo, it grows much faster.
Uh-huh.
You know, yep. Like, the Jade Idol took, like, a good 8 turns to really get to be something significant. You know, not 8 turns, but 8 cards. You know, like, playing 8 Jade cards to actually get significant. Pogo, you play 8, you're like 16. I mean, you're like super huge at that point. So
that means this is better.
That's what I mean. So this is actually better than Jade. So yeah. I'm hoping it's not as good as that. Like, what we're hoping, what we're thinking it will be, because that would be stupid. Yeah, that'd be stupid for that to be so strong.
You can make the biggest bunnies.
Yeah, you can. Just keep going and going. And it's not legend. It's not legendary. It's rare. So you can actually have two of these things. All right. So the next thing is the Shaman one, Hagatha Scheme. This is a 5 mana one. Deal 1 damage to all minions. Upgrade each turn. All right. I mean, I don't actually think that Shaman needs removal. So I'm surprised they chose this for Shaman. Wait, Volcano's gone. Oh, maybe they do, actually. Volcano's gone, and like Primordial's gone, and those type of battle cries that Shudderwalk could trigger. So, yeah, I guess maybe. Maybe they do need a removal.
I think this is... So when I first saw it, I was like, I don't know how I feel. But then with the release of another Shaman card that we haven't talked about yet, the Legendary, which is very much centric, the new Hagatha Legendary and the old Hagatha Alternate Hero, I started realizing, like, yo, they really want to create this good control Shaman. And I think that this is actually decent for that. That's the route that they want to go with it.
I mean, for sure, it's like a full board removal at 5. Like, I mean,
but you have to have it in your hand. It's definitely saying, yo, we're not going to reward top decking. If you top deck this, it's not going to do much.
and it's not so bad getting it on the mulligan either. You know, like there's actually
reward good mulligans. Like, you're going to look at it versus aggro and say, I'm going to keep this because by turn 5, it's going to deal. But versus control, you're going to be like, I'll just wait on this. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I like the design on this, you know, because I feel like the cost is proper. You know, there's this kind of dynamic of it being good in certain spots and bad in certain spots.
It reminds you of Dragon's Fury almost, right? With the cost.
And Dragon's Fury, you know, it's good. Definitely.
Because it's all minions, too. It feels like Dragon's Fury almost.
Yeah, I take it. I mean, as a shaman, I would take Dragon's Fury at 5 any day. You know, like, no question. I think this card will be used quite a bit. And Shaman definitely needs some tools, so that's good. All right, so I need to figure out which cards we ended up missing here, because I don't think I have them all. Let me see. I might have to show a web page here. What did I do with it? We're definitely missing the Hagatha
Legendary in the Shaman Legendary.
Yeah, we're missing Hagatha, right?
Yeah, Hagatha, Oblivitron.
Yeah, Oblivitron. I have the newest two. Let me just bring the newest two. Oblivitron and and then one more.
There's also Forbidden Words.
Yeah, Forbidden Words. Here we go. Okay.
I think that's it.
And then there's Swamp. There's a Swamp Queen, right? I just need to find Swamp Queen. Oh, I'm going to have to look that up later. But Oblivitron first is something that they announced a day or two ago. It's a 6-mana, 3/4 legendary. It's a mech. Death Rattle, summon a mech from your hand and trigger its Death Rattle. Which... I have a hard time thinking of a super powerful mech.
So I looked through the mechs that I could work with currently. And so far, so for the best mech for Hunter itself would just be the bomb that kills the other minion, which is just not strong. 6 mana,
You're talking about Spider Bomb, right?
Yeah. Spider of 2/2 that kills an opponent minion. Like, that's not good. Right. If you look at the neutrals, what it works with is the best thing it works with is the 2/2 that summons a 7/7.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's the best thing it works with neutral currently. Also Mechathan, but it won't actually work.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't actually trigger it.
Because there's a minion on board.
And you have stuff in your hand. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the mechanism's like literally in your hand. Well, it summons it, but...
It summons it, but you probably have something in your hand.
You'd have to make sure your hand's empty, so you're tracking everything away, and then the 3/4 is on the board, so it doesn't work. Yeah, but it's a death rattle. Wait, it's a death rattle. No.
Yeah, and you have to kill it, right? So it's...
Oh, yeah, it triggers it, but the mechathan's not dead. Yeah, no, this doesn't work.
It's clunky as hell. I mean, it should be. Like, I didn't want them to make it. It's, like, very easy to do something like mechathan. Yeah.
So, yeah, 6-mana 3/4 is bad. It's you think? Bad.
We're talking about a 3-mana 3/4. Yeah. We're talking about a 6-mana 3/4.
For those who don't know, at 6-mana, it should have at least 6/6 stats to be considered decent. This is a 3/4.
You could be a 5/6, but you better have an incredible battle.
Yeah, you better be good. You better be like Katharina or something. I don't
right.
know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it looks pretty terrible. I mean.
I'm going to say.
Like we.
Bad until we get something good for it.
Yeah. I mean, the closest thing that we would play a 3/4 at this type of mana level is like. A Vile Spine. You know, like. It has to be something on that.
Yeah,
magnitude.
Vile Spine's. 5
though. Yeah, it's even cheaper than this, so it's like it's got to be awesome for
it's gotta be real good.
Yeah.
Oof.
All right, Forbidden Word. This is the other 0-mana spell you were talking about. Spend all your mana, destroy a minion with that much attack or less. So Forbidden is definitely a type of card we've used in the past, and it's one that always spent your mana, you know, kind of allowed you to spend, you know, just
like
remaining
cards like that.
Yeah.
Flexible.
Yeah, and we've had like healing before, Forbidden Healing.
Yeah.
And this one is one where you destroy it. So it's kind of cool that you kind of have to match it up, you know, like a little bit of mana math to kill, you know, something, because you have to match the attack.
Maybe strong in Arena. Again, I don't see standard players using a spot for these 0 cards, especially without Lyra's or something, unless there's some miracle. Priest in the works.
Yeah, it would be something control for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't love this card, but it is 0. We'll have to see if we can get some miracles going again, and that's like the only hope. But we got Swamp Queen Hagatha, another Hagatha.
Yeah, like I love this card.
Hagatha. We got the Hagatha twins, basically in your decks. 7-mana 5/5. It's a legendary battle cry. Add a 5/5 horror to your hand. Teach it 2 shaman spells.
Yeah, this card's great.
So,
have you seen it? How it works yet, or do you want me to explain it?
Explain it to the.
Okay, so basically, it's almost like if you've seen the Kazakus, how the Kazakus works. Kazakus used to. Create its own spell. It would have 2 random things that would be added to the spell, and that's what this does. So you discover a random shaman spell, and then you discover another random shaman spell, and those spells are attached to the card. It's a 5/5, and so when you play the 5/5, it's going to proc the 2 spells that you've taught it. If you pick a targeting spell, then your next offering will not offer a targeting spell. You can only get 1. So you might get a target and an AoE, or you get a target and a bloodlust, stuff like that. So it's really rewarding to players who are understanding the matchup and can think about like the game ahead. It's very interesting.
Wow. Okay. So it's random targeting, obviously, right? For any target?
Nope. Targeted.
You can target?
Yeah. So let's say you do... lightning bolt bloodlust, you can target the 3 damage, and then your board gets bloodlusted, and then while you're putting down a 5/5.
Wow. So is there a limit to the spell? Like, is there a cap on the spells that you can teach it? Or can you literally get any spell that shaman has?
Any shaman spell, but the cap is that you only can have one targeting spell. So that's also going to factor in the way that you pick. Like, if you pick a targeting spell first, you won't get offered it second. So let's say your AoEs aren't good the first round. You probably pick the target so that you can look for an AoE or something. But if you don't pick a target spell the first time around, you're still going to get offered it the second time, which is going to reduce the probability of getting certain AoEs. So it's definitely going to be like very good card, in my opinion, for those like with knowledge of like a board state, how the game's going to roll out.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that the Swamp Queen Hagatha is a 7-mana 5/5, which we talked about. I mean, better stats than Oblivitron, in my opinion, but I just think that Shaman is really leaning towards control. And then this is going to be a really good control card that gives you a swing turn.
Yeah, man. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could get some serious value too. I mean, you're only about 3 mana off anyways. And you're going to get, for sure you're going to get 3 mana's worth of spells. Way more than that. Yeah. So...
Yeah. So you have to, and I don't know how it works with schemes. So I don't know if you can pick schemes, and I don't know if you do, if they build. That's something I haven't looked into yet.
But what do you mean?
Like if you pick, I don't know if you get offered Hagatha.
Oh, you mean if the scheme builds on, I bet it doesn't. I bet.
Yeah.
I bet it doesn't. It's not considered in their hand. I think it's kind of considered to be played. Or I don't know. That's a good question. But yeah, I'd be surprised.
It definitely really reminds me of Kazakus, where you pick two things, right?
Yeah.
But instead of it being a spell, it's a minion that does the two. It's almost like a battle cry of spells.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. It's a good nuance that they did there. It's different.
I think, I think it's rewarding. It's a rewarding card for those who understand the game.
Yeah. It's just fun to pick two spells to attach to a minion too.
Yeah. We always like discovering.
Yeah, we get to pick battle cries now, not just straight out text like we did with Rexxar. anyways, so that's going to wrap up just all the new card reveals. So lots of different flavor. So far, I think I like what I see. I mean, there's still a ton of holes, obviously, that look into fill in this first expansion. And with the different classes, but I'm most interested to see what more shaman cards and warrior cards will bring, just to see how those will change.
Yeah, warriors taking a huge hit without Baku.
Yeah.
I think Hunter is actually taking a pretty large hit. If you look at the legendary they gave him, it's pretty bad, and they're losing Rexxar. So I mean. They still have Zul'jin, though, so there's opportunity.
Yeah, Zul'jin. They lose all the Death Rattle stuff, too. That's really brutal. They lose Play Dead. They lose...
Katharina.
Yeah, it's going to be a different world, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's about time. I mean, we've had Hunter Stone for a long time now.
Oh, that's all I faced today, man.
I know, right? Hunter or Paladin, basically, in these final days.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to get to some questions here. Before we do, I want to do some quick shout-outs to just our patrons, the folks that support the show. You guys keep it going. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do the show. So, big thanks to just a few of them, naming a few each episode. Raydan, Bryce L, Cameron M, Paul H, Vincent G, Dan S, Trevor T, A Random Guy, ASMR, Gabriel G, David F, and Andrew C. And you can, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/valleytown and throw a pledge our way. Really appreciate it. Okay, we got one question from Ahmad. And if you guys have questions in Twitch chat, go ahead and put those in the Twitch chat. And we'll get to them. But Ahmed N asks, when should I use autocomplete for improving my deck? And when should I use HS replay? Okay. Interesting question. What's your thoughts, Alyssa?
Autocomplete can work is that you could just pick one card and you're like, I don't know what I should do with this card. And you just put the one card in your deck and you hit autocomplete. It'll make you a full deck from scratch. Supposedly, they're really good. You can find new interesting things. But you use HS3 play more for the statistics that come behind it. They give the proven rates of the win rate on based on what ranked player you are. And so I think the autocomplete is really good for discovering new stuff that you can do with each card. But if you want true stats, HS3 play is the way to go.
Okay, so I'm almost, it's, this is going to be almost like I'm still working there, but, you know, cause I was definitely part of it whenever we released this feature, but HS Replay actually does have, this really cool feature.
They have autocomplete?
Yeah. Well, they have this. So here, I'll show you. It's something, this is one thing that for sure we were working on trying to, and it was like, we have all these cool features, like we have some cool features that people don't know about. And we're definitely working on just the marketing elements of it when I left, you know, back in November. But, one of the things that people, I guess, didn't realize that we launched a year ago, it was like literally last March is, this whole collection thing, limit my collection. And, what this does is that it only shows the decks that you can build your collection.
Oh.
And then like you can actually enter in an amount of dust, and that will give you the decks that you can build if you bought those cards, like if you bought certain cards with the dust that you have. So, you know, if you click limit my collection, it will show you what you can build. So you see how the buildable thing that we added, like that was part of one of the things
that
we added.
I was wondering what that meant. I was like,
when I was doing product, we
I can build anything. What are you talking about?
Right. And then we had the little icon here as well. They changed the icon. No, that's the same icon. But yeah, so this tells you if you can build it. Like I obviously have a bunch of cards, but there are some things you won't be able to build. Like it'll say how much dust you need for it. So, yeah. In terms of like what you should and shouldn't use, I mean, HS Replay, I mean, we built this feature like when I was there for like to really help all the new and casual players be able to find the best deck possible. So this is going to tell you, you know, just what the highest winning percentage deck you can build. It's like more of an exact way of doing it. If you're lazy, you don't want to actually go through this, then that's when you use the autocomplete in the game. But yeah, this is going to be better. The HS Replay method is going to always be much better. So I would...
Stats as numbers.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you can just sort by the win rate and sort by the ones that you can build. And there you go. Yeah. These are the ones you can build.
And Odd Paladin, 62%.
Yeah, I know, right? So so anyways, that's my HS Replay plug for the day. I'm still explaining some of these features. They're still there, even some down here. But yeah, so anyways, Ahmed definitely used that. Let's see, any questions? Do you think that we need hero cards from West4U2? Do we need hero cards this year? Peter said no hero cards this expansion. And is it okay to leave some classes having some or others none? So do we need more hero cards? And can we have an imbalance of heroes?
So I kind of talked about this last time when you were talking to... A couple times you're talking to Raven, I was asking about this. I personally think there might be an imbalance if certain classes don't have hero cards. But also, I'm understanding that the new heroes aren't as strong as the old heroes. So
They're
definitely not as strong as Rexxar, Jaina. But they're still good. Like, Dr. Boom's better than Garrosh, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Zul'jin is a huge game changer versus aggro or tempo decks. You know, it's not as strong versus control, but very strong in those type of games. So I think these ones are really good. I do think it's kind of a big deal that they don't introduce alternate heroes for the others.
Yeah, I think that... do we need to have heroes? I mean, generally speaking... I mean, I don't think we need to have heroes, but it's definitely, yeah, I mean, well, there's, it's definitely a way for Blizzard in the past to introduce new win conditions. In this particular case, I don't know if we actually have win conditions more than we just have like very powerful effects, which could be just on a legend card. You know, like we could have a lot of these effects on a legend card, like the Zul'jin could just be a legend card. Right.
Right.
So we could do that.
Like a crazy, or what's it called?
It's like Yogg.
It's like a Yogg, but it's controlled Yogg.
Right.
But still random.
Yeah, still random. Exactly. So in terms of imbalance, I don't think, well, I think it's actually theoretically possible to not have them balanced in terms of every class having a hero, but perception, there's no way people will take that well. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to convince them, hey, these five classes have, you know, these heroes, but these other four classes actually have stronger legends. So that's how we're balancing it. Like, that's just not going to happen PR-wise. Like, no way the community accepts that. So I think Blizzard has to have 9 classes. If they're going to give any of these secondary classes to any of the classes, they have to do it for all of them by the end of the year. So, you know, not having an any in this expansion is going to be kind of weird. Like, then I guess they have a bunch of next ones. I don't know. It's kind of strange. But maybe they're super powerful, so they didn't want to have them in the very first expansion. But yeah. So I still like them. You know, I definitely like Zul'jin. I like Hagatha. I like Dr. Boom. And there's plenty of iconic WoW characters that could be made into heroes that we still haven't touched. Yet we still do we do Dr. Boom again somehow, and you know, Hagatha is another card in the game now too.
It's like, trying to bring back those old users. Like, yo, come back. We got Dr. Boom again.
Yeah, is like King Togwaggle coming back? I mean, he's not coming back as a hero, but he's definitely a big part of the storyline.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. All right, so we've got Imasek asks, what do you think about the Wild State? Would you nerf any cards personally, or are you playing only standard? I'm only playing standard.
So, in my opinion, I played Wild for a month. I personally did not like it.
All right.
I gave me some nostalgia. I was like, yay, Jade Idols again. And so I like the nostalgia feel of it. And I think that's what it's there for. But if you consider how many cards are getting rotated into it every year, it's way too hard, in my opinion, to expect them to be able to keep that. I mean, that's why we rotate cards, is so we can have new effects that aren't too overpowering with old effects. And I just think it's too big of a burden to really keep that in line. I think they gave us Wild for fun. Like, hey, you can still use your old cards if you want. But then people start taking it more competitively and more serious. And they're like, whoa, this was just supposed to be fun. It's Wild. It's literally Wild. That's why we named it Wild.
Free Yogg-Saron.
So, and I get where the Wild people are coming from. They're like, this is what we main. But at the same time, I don't think it's realistic to think that they could keep up with keeping things
balanced. Yeah.
Balanced over there. The balancing would be way too much work.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, when I think about the Wild State, I actually think the State of Wild is not terrible. I think it's probably better than we would all expect. You know, you think that it'd just be stupid overpowered things, but, you know, something that could be just outright crazy overpowered. But I think because there are so many crazy overpowered things, that nothing has been too...
Even Shaman's man over there. Oh, yeah.
I mean, but...
4-7-7s all over again.
Yeah, true. But there's all kinds of things, though, right? There's crazy big priests, and there's crazy combo priests.
Crazy cube blocks.
And I mean, there's... Yeah. So I think...
There's a lot of crazy. And because it's so crazy, too, it's very polarized. So
yeah, agreed.
I didn't love it. I did not. I could update... I actually hit Legend on Wild with a standard deck because I was getting so sick of their nonsense.
What?
I hit Legend with standard Odd Warrior. I was just like, shamans.
Well, it's good. Stop. It's definitely good.
Yeah. I was getting so sick of the shamans over there.
Yeah.
So I used Odd Warrior standard.
Can't blame you. Yeah, for that.
Hey, Legend. Easy.
It's funny. Yeah, so in terms of nerfing any cards, I don't think... I mean, I can't think of a card to nerf right this second, but they could just release Yogg-Saron. I saw somebody posting about that somewhere, and
everyone hates Barnes over there right now, but
Barnes, all right, that's a good candidate. Barnes could be just Hall of Famed, and
but the Barnes bye-bye. Keeps the shamans in check, and the shamans keep the people who play Barnes who don't get Barnes on four in check. And I don't know,
does Barnes actually keep that in check, really?
I mean, Barnes on four into Yasarj into Yasarj into you just win.
Right.
Shaman can't deal with that.
Yeah, but that's not just keeping shamans in check. That keeps everybody in check. That, right? I mean, the hunter? Remember the hunter that was like that? That was ridiculous.
Oh, I was great at that hunter, spell hunter. Everyone's like, why do you have two minions in your spell hunter? You're like, watch this.
It's auto win. It's like, if you get Barnes in your mulligans, auto win. It's like crazy.
I had Barnes on four. That was great. I love those days.
You love those days. I love playing it too, but it was pretty ridiculous, though, having that ability to win like that. But okay, well, anyways, I think that's all the questions we have for Q&A. So thanks everybody for the questions, and I think that we're gonna wrap up, Celissa. So thanks for joining me and talking about some cards. It's always super fun, and super fun having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Any shout outs you want to do before you take off?
Hi. Hi, everyone who's here. That's my shout out.
Yeah, everybody's here. Yeah, or listening. As you know, these days we have like way more listeners than we do watchers. But
hi, listeners.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, thanks to everybody that is watching live and everybody that again sent in their questions, and big shout out to Robinhood for sponsoring and all the patrons, of course. You can find the show on youtube.com/championv. Make sure you go and subscribe to it, because it's a new channel. You might think if you subscribed to it a long time ago, that's a different channel now, so you have to make sure you go and subscribe again. I ended up,
let me go subscribe right now.
I ended up splitting the Streamer Showdown and Champion and what used to be Champion V is now Streamer Showdown, so it's like really confusing, but I had to do it. It was just like,
is it Champion V?
Yeah, it's Champion V. This youtube.com/championv. So
all right, make sure I'm setting right now.
Yeah, I gotta build that up again, which is like so annoying, but we gotta do it. But
I'm learning the YouTube meta now. I'm just starting to build my YouTube, and a whole different.
Dude, it's a whole different space. Totally whole
different. It's a whole different space. Yeah. I feel like a total noob over there.
Dude, imagine podcasting is a whole, like the audio is a whole different space too. So.
Oh my gosh, all these spaces.
Yeah, I know, right?
All the awesome. These different metas I'm learning.
Yeah. Just so many ways to get it, get our content out to great people. So it's awesome. But you can find the show also on all the audio channels. So that's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and soundcloud.com/championv. Just look up Valuetown or Hearthstone. You'll find us. You can leave a review there if you like the show. That always helps out as well. But that's going to be it, guys, this week for Valuetown. So for Celissa and myself, Champion V, we'll see you next week. We'll talk some more cards when they all get announced.